Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, Text Number 20. Pariyo Patitam Balam Pratinandya Shishasura Parishvaja Chiram Dorabhyam Paramam Apa Nirvritim. Okay, I'm just going to read the translation because there's no purport. When Hiranyakashipu saw that his child had fallen at his feet and was offering obeisances, as an affectionate father, he immediately began showering blessings upon the child and embraced him with both arms. The father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very happy in this way. Text 21. Narada continued, "My dear King Yudhisthira, Hiranyakashipu seated Prahlad on his Maharaj on his lap, began smelling his head. With affectionate tears gliding down from his eyes, moistening the child's smiling face, he spoke to his son as follows. Purport. The child or disciple falls at the feet of the father or spiritual master. The superior responds by smelling the head of the subordinate." A little hard to understand. Anyone can explain this? It's not exactly in modern culture. I don't know. What is the significance of smelling the head of your disciple or your son? See if he washed his hair? Anyhow, whatever, it's esoteric. Hiranyakashipu said, "My dear Prahlad, my dearest son, O long-lived one, for so much time you have heard many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge." Prabhu, in this verse, Hiranyakashipu inquires from his son what he has learned from his guru. Prahlad Maharaj's gurus were of two kinds, Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya and the seminal disciple succession, were the gurus appointed by his father. But his other guru was exalted Narada Muni, who had instructed Prahlad when Prahlad was within the womb of his mother. Prahlad Maharaj responded to the inquiry of his father with the instructions he had received from his spiritual master Narada. Thus there was again a difference of opinion between because Prahlad Maharaj wanted to relate the best thing he had learned from his spiritual master, whereas Hiranyakashipu expected to hear about politics and diplomacy. Prahlad had learned from Shanda and Amarka. Now the dissension between father and son became increasingly intense as Prahlad began to say what he had learned from his guru, Narada Muni. Next verse is probably the longest purport in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Take us a couple of weeks to read through the purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Buddhir Gyanam Samudho Shema Sattva Dhamashama Sukadukam Bhavo Bhavo Bhayam Chabayam Evacha Ahimsa Samatha Tushti Supo Dhanam Yasho Yasha Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam Matak Eva Pritag Vida." So Krishna begins, this is in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Buddhir Gyanam. There are two things. Buddhir, intelligence, and Gyanam, knowledge. In modern society, people think intelligence means to be able to control the material nature, and Gyanam means how to make money. But this is actually not Buddhi. Buddhi means to see things in the proper perspective. And therefore, devotional service is also called Buddha Yoga, the process of awakening our original vision so we can see things properly. And according to that, we have verses in Bhagavad Gita that give us vision of what a self-realized person, how he sees things, such as the famous one, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmi Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Svapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana A humble sage is by virtue, the learned sage is by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. Samam pachanti sarvatra, samabhashti damishvaram, ehinatyatmanatmano tatoyati puram gitim. Now one who can see the soul, and the super soul coming in the soul and all bodies, and who knows that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. Samam pachanti sarvatra, samabhashti damishvaram, ehinatyatmanatmano tatoyati puram gitim. Samam sarvesh bhuteshu tishtantam parameshvaram vinashyavam vinashantam yapashyati sapashyate. One who knows that the super soul is equal everywhere in all bodies doesn't degrade himself by his mind, and thus he approaches the transcendental destination. In other words, there may be something called material knowledge of how the modes of material nature interact, but these things are superfluous for the soul. Unless these material knowledge is utilized to help one become Krishna conscious, it has no real value. It simply keeps one in darkness. So-called knowledge is actually darkness. That knowledge can be utilized in Krishna service, and therefore when one is participating in activities, one is still conscious of the fact that he's Krishna's eternal servant. Without that, everything is considered sharma evi kevalam. Therefore, Krishna doesn't negate the fact that we have duties to perform, as Sunda and Marka are prescribing duties for kings, because Krishna says, Shreya Svadhamo Viguna Paradharma Svanustita Tre Dharma Idanam Shreyak Paradharma Bhayavaha. It is better to execute one's own duty than even imperfectly than to perform someone else's duty perfectly. Destruction in the cause of one's own duty is better because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. So these bodies are actually meant for something in Krishna's service. So we should find out what Krishna wants us to do with this body. That's called our duty. Now, if we think we are the body, then in material consciousness, people think the only duty is to make money and enjoy the senses. But if one understands that this body belongs to Krishna, and I also belong to Krishna, then I should find out what Krishna wants me to do with this body. So that's called dharma. And there's two kinds of dharma. Swadharma, two kinds of swadharma. One's own duty. One is the duty given in a varnashram according to one's psychophysical nature, and the other is the Swadharma given by the spiritual master in relation to Krishna's service. So Śrīla Goswāmī has given us nectar of devotion to tell us how to execute devotional service, and the Vedas tell us how to execute our duties in Varna and Ashram. Now in the Hare Krishna movement, for instance, we accept something from Varna and Ashram, because Varna and Ashram helps us control our senses, especially the mind is the principal senses. When it's uncontrolled, then one cannot understand anything properly. One cannot understand anything properly, one must do the wrong things. If our mind is not absorbed in Krishna consciousness, if it doesn't see things in relation to Krishna, if we don't act in relation to Krishna, whatever we're doing will not be beneficial for us or anyone else. Therefore, there is some restriction, because without following Varnashram for the neophyte, then he'll get entangled in sense gratification. For that reason, generally speaking, the ladies sit on one side and the men sit on the other side. It's not that the men hate the women and therefore they want to be, you know, much the opposite. They like the women too much. And therefore it's good for them to be a little apart. And so hopefully the women don't hate the men either. So it's good for them to be a little apart, especially when we're hearing about Krishna, so we can concentrate more upon Krishna rather than our future soulmate. Our future soulmate is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. His name is Krishna. So, Vanashram is principally for that. Ashram is principally to restrict association with the opposite sex, and Varna is more or less to provide the necessities of life through the performance of sacrifice. And without controlling the senses and ashram, then one will not be able to understand what the value of sacrifice is. Therefore, tapasya brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha. In the beginning, there is tapasya. In brahmacharya ashram, there is tapasya. Krishna in Balaram, they also underwent tapasya in the actual gurukul of Sandipani Muni, unlike the gurukul of Sanda and Amarka. The modern gurukul of Sanda and Amarka, they'd be playing video games all day long. That's, even the U.S. Army, they train their soldiers with video games. And so when they were fighting the war in Iraq, the commander had to tell his soldiers that this is not a video game. This is for real. Because one becomes so absorbed in a video game, one actually thinks everything's just a video game. So the modern Sanda and Amarka would just have their students play video games, learn diplomacy and whatever else. As we went over yesterday, the first thing is Sama, try to pacify their minds. Oh, you're a nice person. Why are you doing this? We never expected such a nice person like you would agitate people in society. This, your mother would be very unhappy if she heard about this. And if that doesn't work, then there is something called trying to bribe the person, dana. You're such a nice person, but I think we should give you a little extra so it keep you quiet. And if that doesn't work, then there's beta. Tell all your friends this, that actually you're spreading rumors about them. Turn them against you. And if that doesn't work, then danda. Hit them on the head with a club. With a stick. So this is the method that is learned for a kshatriya in the Sanda and Amarka school. But when Krishna and Balaram were in school, they learned many things. Even though they were kshatriyas, they learned the 64 arts, they went out and collected wood for the spiritual master. They were actually following the Vedic culture for education. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Guru Arhitam Asavan Nicho Guru Sorida Sarija. That one should go to the Guru Kule and learn discipline. Brahmachari Guru Kule. It's not meant for a nice, comfortable life. Big feast on Sunday for the Guru Kule students. Outing, you know, to Disneyland or whatever else. This is not Gurukul. People can't understand that in modern age. They think Gurukul school is meant for sense enjoyment. An opportunity to play all day long for little children, and when they grow up, they also play. Their life is just a dream. And so by the time they get out of school, they're versions of animals, bigger animals than they were when they were little. So Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that modern education means to turn a shudra into less than an animal. Going the other way. Padaksha Gurukula is Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta. Danta means to be controlling your senses. Danta, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Gurur Hitam. And one should actually be favorable towards the Guru. Not one day I'm going to become, I'll grow up, become the Guru and kick this old guy out. As soon as you grow up, because that's an encouragement in modern society. You go to school, you learn from your teacher, and then when you get your opportunity, you defeat everything your teacher said with your dissertation, proving everything he said was wrong. And then you become the next leader. Vasandanta Guruya. Achavan. Service attitude. Nichavan. Humility. Let's see, Vasavan, Brahmachari Guru Kule, Vasandanta Guru Ritam, Dasavan, Achavan, Nicho. So service, surrender, humility, Surida, Sarida, determination, one should serve the Guru with a pure heart, favorable disposition. So this is not what's being taught in modern society, and therefore, society is becoming, as Arjuna told Krishna, with the absence of actually really learned persons, then the whole society will become, go to hell, and all there will be was Varna Sankara, who cannot understand anything of Vedic knowledge. If you give them a book, they turn it upside down trying to figure out what it is. They haven't seen anything like that in a long time. They think they remember they saw it in some museum somewhere. Was next to a dinosaur cage. And they look at the cover and they try to decide what flavor it might be if they ate it. That's all they can figure out. But real school is that of Narada Muni, as we'll find out. That Narada Muni's didn't bother teaching Prahlad about Varna and Ashram. He simply taught him Bhagavad Bhakti. That from the tender age of childhood, has that start? Dharma Bhagavataniha Kamar Acharan Pragyo Dharma Bhagavataniha Durlaba Murusha Janma Tarapya Drugam Artadam. From the tender age of Kumara, from 5 years old, one should learn about Bhagavad Dharma. Otherwise, all this thing about how to become rule over a kingdom, that's all right, but that can be taught later if you're actually going to do that. But in the beginning, one should be taught Bhagavad Dharma. And if one's going to be taught about one's occupational duty, along with it, there should be the consciousness, I'm doing it for Krishna. Otherwise, it's Shrama Evi Kevalam. So Varna and Ashram, Krishna emphasizes in the Bhagavad Gita, but he also emphasizes equally well the fact, Manmana Bhava Madhbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, this is what Krishna emphasizes, to think of me, become my devotee. So while we're executing whatever service, whatever duty we're doing, at the same time we should have a sense of Krishna consciousness. Sense that Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the friend, and then we'll make some progress in awakening the soul. Without awakening the soul, it's simply a waste of time. The other interesting thing is here we find that Hiranyakashipu, although he was the Surya Varya, Asuryavarya, the biggest demon, still he loves his children. Even the lion loves his cubs. Now, we don't consider a lion a very advanced person because he's a great lover of his children. He probably takes care of his children better than many people take care of their children nowadays. But we don't consider him very advanced because he's a good family man. He hardly ever quarrels with his wife. They don't argue about the kid's education. They both agree on that, exactly what the kid was supposed to be educated for. The kids don't become vegans, so there's no quarrel with the parents. They don't go out of their home to go to the movies when the parents aren't watching. Kids are very obedient. So it's a nice family life, but still they're animals. Nowadays people are not, they don't have a good family life, nor do they have a Krishna conscious life. They're not even on, therefore, that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakura said they're less than animals. At least when they become an animal, they'll have a regulated life. They'll have a purpose for life. Nowadays people don't even have a purpose why they're living. Therefore Prahlad was correct in trying to tell his father what the best thing he learned in school, because he asked. Don't ask and I won't tell. So his father asked, and Prahlad wasn't used to dealing with such people like his father, because this is a new life for him. And therefore he wanted to be honest. His father asked him a good question, so he's going to give him a good answer. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Sakyatnam Univedra. It wasn't what his father wanted to hear, but it's what his father had to hear. So sometimes we have to tell people what they want to hear, and if we can, we should tell them people what they should hear, what they have to hear. Prahlad took that determination to tell his father what was valuable, because that's what he asked. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Keep the mic at your lotus feet.
Hare Krishna. What would happen if Prahlad told Hiranyakashipu something more neutral, something less aggravating to Hiranyakashipu? He probably could understand what Hiranyakashipu wants, and he could have just tell him something.
He wouldn't have made it into the Bhagavatam, that's for sure. I'm sure there's a lot of people who had the little children 5 years old who were in a similar situation. They said what the person wanted to hear rather than what they should have told them. They didn't make it into the Bhagavatam. But this is one example in the last yuga, at least, someone who tells the truth, as rare as it is. So he made it into the Bhagavatam, at least. Otherwise he wouldn't. He would have been a Prahlad. Anything else? First of all, we're thinking that, you know, when you're 5 years old and you have hardly any experience in the world, that you're going to be so duplicitous, especially when you see realize the truth. Prahlad wasn't duplicitous. He had already learned the truth. He wasn't afraid. Like Haridas Thakura, because he was a self-realized soul, when the Qazi told him to convert, he just saw the Qazi as an instrument for the illusory energy, and he didn't take it seriously. And therefore he was unafraid, because he knew he wasn't the body, that no one could harm him. So when it's self-realized, then one becomes abhayam, fearless. And therefore his whole duty is to tell the truth. There's no reason not to, especially among family members. That's what Krishna told Nanda Maharaj. He said, you should tell me, I'm one of your family members. Now, someone may be outside, they may be an enemy, you may be duplicitous, but not to your family members. Tell the truth. Why is the sacrifice for this Indra going on? And Nanda Maharaj conceded and told him the truth. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.